are listening to the sermon podcast of Covenant Presbyterian Church. We are a community in Madison, Wisconsin, who gathers to worship, to learn, to serve, and to grow together in God's love. Please visit us online at www.covenantmadison.org, where you can find information about Covenant Ministries, as well as links to our online worship services and sermon podcasts.
Here this morning, a reading from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 25 through 32, under the heading, Rules for the New Life. Paul writes, "So then, putting away falsehood, let us all speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands, so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Thanks be to God for the words of Scripture. When I was young and finding that delicate balance between safety and freedom, and having a little sister trotting along behind me all the time, one of my favorite books was called I Was So Mad. It's one of the Little Critter Mercer Mayer book series. And this one, I Was So Mad, I really loved. In the story, the little critter has all sorts of ideas for how to spend his day. He wants to keep frogs in the bathtub. He decides to learn to juggle with eggs. He wants to tangle himself in the clothesline. And he wants to paint the house with a rainbow of colors. And he thinks these are all great ideas for how to spend his day. But every time he tries with one of his good ideas, one of the grown-ups says, "No, little critter, you can't do that." And he gets so mad. The grown-ups make suggestions for other activities he could do. Try the sandbox, play on the slide. But no, he is too mad for suggestions. The story culminates with him deciding that he is so mad that he is going to run away. And so he packs his toys and a bag of cookies for the road. But then, right outside the door as he's leaving, he sees his friends and they say, "Hey, do you want to come and play with us?" He turns around, he asks his mom if it's okay, and she says, "Of course," and waves goodbye. And on his way into the horizon, he turns around to deliver the last line of the story. He says, "Well, I'll run away tomorrow if I'm still so mad." As Christians, and especially maybe as Presbyterians, we don't talk that much about anger, about the things that make us so mad. We talk about injustice, of course, and sin sometimes, but the actual emotion and experience of anger, it just doesn't come up very often, especially in comparison to things like kindness, compassion, peacemaking, the common good. But it turns out those things aren't opposite to anger. And if we read our Bibles closely, we know that God got angry, and that that angry God inspired the prophets of the Hebrew Bible to be enraged by injustice and wrongdoing, using their anger to do right. And of course, Jesus in the Gospels, who we often portray as this gentle, soft-spoken peacemaker, This Jesus also got mad at the people around him trying to take advantage of one another. That's the well-known story of Jesus in the temple flipping the tables, right? People, religious leaders actually, were charging a fee for others to enter the temple. And so by the time anybody got in to make an offering with their money, they'd already lost it all. And Jesus was enraged. And so for there to be fairness in this situation, first there was a little bit of fury. And so Jesus literally turned over the money tables. So many of us are afraid to talk about anger, let alone let our anger show out loud. And I don't mean by flipping tables, right? But many of us learn from a young age that anger is not okay. Some of us grow up in homes where anger only meant hurt or violence. But anger is not the same as violence. Violence is a misuse of anger. And of course, anger is culturally determined, right? Where can anger erupt and where are we told to calm down? For whom is it seemingly appropriate in public or on TV, at work or in a household to get mad, and who is told to keep the peace? For some people, anger is way too risky. For women, for people of color, for activists, even for good, calm Presbyterians, civility is so often prized over protest. But might there be a place for good, healthy, hopeful anger? Can we learn from the anger of Jesus that peacemakers are not always so passive? And like the little critter in the book, we all have things to be angry about. And here I don't mean the petty things, the little things that just ruffle our feathers, though of course those things exist too. And I definitely don't mean the side of anger that is misused into harm, hatred, violence, or vengeance. I don't mean that. And Paul, in this letter to the Ephesians, was sure to make that distinction too. He says, "Be angry, but do not sin." Be angry, but do not sin. Because, of course, some anger is indeed justified. Anger tells us a lot about trauma. Just this last week, the governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo, resigned. And it is the most high-profile resignation yet in the Me Too movement. This news, this accountability is shepherded by years and years, decades of rightly placed anger. And for many of us, I am sure the news brings its own wave of anger at all of the injustice that goes undocumented, the perpetrators who go unaccounted for. Anger tells us a lot about injustice. Many of us follow the work of Reverend Dr. Alex G., who directs the Justified Anger Coalition, addressing racial disparities in Madison. And following his work and knowing what they do and living in this city, we should be bewildered that in a city with such great innovation, creative leadership, and abundant resources when used well, we have so much work to do. And justified anger, the coalition and the emotion, can help get us there. Anger tells us a lot about vulnerability. Like in the story of beloved poet Mary Oliver, many of us have read her work, and she's most famous for her poetry on life and love, nature and beauty. But few of her doting readers know that she also wrote a poem about her childhood and her father entitled Rage. Even the gentlest among us have anger too. And anger tells us a lot about grief. Renowned grief psychiatrist Elizabeth Kubler-Ross identifies anger as one of the five stages of grief, the five stages of any grief cycle: denial, anger, bargaining, depression, acceptance. And when talking to clients about grief, she writes, quote, "We usually know more about suppressing anger than feeling it." She says, "Tell a counselor how angry you are. Share it with your friends and family. Do something active and cathartic. Find ways to get it out without hurting yourself or someone else. Do not bottle up anger inside. Instead, explore it." End quote. And anger tells us a lot about hope. At the Children's Hospital at UW, where I work as the pediatric chaplain, I had a patient, a young boy, who relapsed after years of cancer treatment. Usually he is sweet and social, goofy and creative. He loves to learn magic tricks and show them to his whole oncology team. But the last time he was re-hospitalized, he fought and yelled and cried and pushed because he really, really hoped he would be better, that he wouldn't ever be sick again. And this sweet boy was so mad. He slept it off, and in the morning he woke up with a big idea to write a book for other kids with cancer so they know they're not alone with these big emotions. Anger tells us a lot about the stories we hold. The Me Too activists, the anti-racism coalitions, our beloved poets, our grieving families, children living with cancer, the God we worship, and Jesus incarnate, all of us, we have this capacity for anger. And anger can indeed be justified, good, even sacred. Sacred anger shows us the gap between what is and what could be. Sacred anger can tell us a lot about the arc that does bend towards justice, with a little pushing sometimes. And in our lives every day, sacred anger tells us a lot about the things we need, the things we've lost, and the things that we hope for. Anger has a bad reputation when it's misused, and we have, of course, all seen it misused. And if we are to take this scripture seriously, to be angry but to not sin, then anger is a double-edged sword we need to wield carefully, a gift we have to learn how to hold. The good news is that in knowing when our anger emerges, we know more about ourselves. We know more about a God who got angry. And we see that anger can be a catalyzing force for what is beautiful and true and good. May it be so. Amen.